Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. And we're here with Danny. Good evening, Danny.
Good evening.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, it's a delightful evening. We got a beautiful day, and a lot happening today, and we're not going to pay attention to any of it, with the exception of mentioning it in passing here at the beginning. So, the Enron trial is over. Jeff Skilling and Ken Lay, were convicted today to the relief of many people, I'm certain. They profess to be shocked, but when you're guilty, I don't know how you can be shocked. We're not going to spend any more time than that on it. They will be sentenced September 11th, strangely enough, was chosen for sentencing date. Tony Blair's in town, and even as we speak, he and George Bush are doing a press conference from the White House, a dual press conference. They've been pushing this all day, all week. Maybe it'll help Bush, but they have a lot to say about Iraq, apparently. And third, the Senate is passing the immigration bill tonight. They may be done by now. They were taking the roll call an hour or two ago, and it could be over. It should pass. The question is how many votes it gets, how many Republican votes it gets, and then what happens in the conference committee. I have a feeling it's going nowhere. That is, I don't think the House and the Senate are going to agree on a bill. I don't think we'll get an immigration bill this year. Having said that, and there's other news too, but I'm not going to deal with any of it tonight because we have a special edition of the Andy Finn Show. Today is Thursday, May 26th, and I'm not even going to cover the things that happened in his story today, because we're going to spend the hour on global warming. Now, before your eyes glaze over, we're going to have a little bit of fun with it because I can explain some of this to you, being as how I'm a scientist. And if you missed the Fox News special on Sunday night on global warming, you missed a real treat. So Fox News was pushing this last week, and I said, this I've got to see. And they did a broadcast entitled Global Warming, The Debate Continues. And it was the biggest whitewash. I mean, not just that they gave equal time or some time to the dissenters, they featured the dissenters, which are a tiny, tiny percentage of the scientists out there that study this stuff. And so I do want to talk about that, but even before we do that, I want you to listen to an ad from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. They have two of them out on the airwaves, and I've seen them on the airwaves, and they have one on their website that's web only that we're not going to listen to tonight. But here is their first ad, and this is priceless because they're essentially saying that what's the big fuss about carbon dioxide? It's not a pollutant. It's what we breathe out. Why are the alarmists? And notice the word alarmist, because Fox News uses it during their broadcast to describe the main body of scientists that are finding in their research that global warming is happening and that it's caused by humans. That's an alarmist position. Apparently. So let's listen to the Competitive Enterprise Institute first. You have to picture, a woman walking on a beach and children playing in the park and things like that in the background, because they want to soothe your savage beast and make you believe that there's nothing going on. And why are these people scaring us so much? Oh, beautiful.
There's
beautiful.
Something in these pictures you can't see. It's essential to life. We breathe it out. Plants breathe it in. It comes from animal life. The oceans. The earth. And the fuels we find in it. It's called carbon dioxide, CO2. The fuels that produce CO2 have freed us from a world of back-breaking labor. Lighting up our lives. Allowing us to create and move the things we need, the people we love. Now some politicians want to label carbon dioxide a pollutant. Imagine if they succeed. What would our lives be like then? Carbon dioxide. They call it pollution. We call it life.
Oh, I just love that. That is just priceless. They call it pollution. We call it life. Well, I tell you what, let's lock you up in a room full of only carbon dioxide. You'd be dead in a minute because it's not life. It's life to plants, but it's not life to humans.
That's not what I think. I think it's the hardworking people in America.
That's right. I know it's not what you think, Mr. President, but eventually someone will bring you up to speed on this issue too. So Fox News does this one-hour special Sunday night, and I should start by pointing out something I didn't know when I watched the special Sunday night. It is the second, I guess the second, in a series or in a pair. Last November 13th, my birthday, they broadcast another global warming special called The Heat Is On, The Case of Global Warming. It was actually apparently a pretty fair piece that dealt with global warming and explained what it was about. It even used, I think it was Robert Kennedy Jr., one of the Kennedy people, probably the congressman, in it as a special correspondent, which admittedly was a mistake for even for CNN to do that, but for Fox to do it, I don't know where they were coming from. But they took global warming seriously, and the outrage of the conservative critics, they got an earful the next week, including from the American Enterprise Institute. And so, in part as a sop to conservatives and to the Bush administration, because they treat the Bush administration with kid gloves in this hour-long deal, Fox News came out with this one May 21st, last Sunday. I didn't realize at the time that it was a follow-on piece, and I guess they felt we spent an hour explaining the actual science of global warming, and I've not seen that video that hour. I don't know what they cover. So they probably decided, let's now give an hour to the other side, because that's essentially what they did. And of course, the other side doesn't merit an hour, because if you were to line up all the researchers that have a stake in this, all the researchers who are studying this, actually in the field, one of the fields that touch on global warming, global climate change issues, you'd have 99 scientists on one side for every one that you have on the other side. Maybe more than 99, but we aren't going to cut any of those scientists in half, so we'll stick to 99 and 1. In any case, here's the way they began. Right off the bat, the host, who was David Asman, he kicks off the show with what a 20%er would call a lie, but since I'm not a 20%er, I'll just refer to it as misinformation.
Hello and welcome to Global Warming, The Debate Continues. I'm David Asman. Today, almost all scientists agree there is global warming, but there's no scientific consensus about what causes global warming or how it will affect our lives.
Stop him right there. So that is simply not true. There is consensus. There is overwhelming agreement on the basic facts within the scientific community. Here are the basic facts. Global warming is caused by the effect of what's known as greenhouse gases, of which carbon dioxide is the primary one. They're found in the atmosphere. And the more that get captured in the atmosphere, it helps heat up the planet. They have all kinds of measurements on this, and I'm not going to go into them here. You can read about this anyplace else. But I'm not out there like a Pete DuPont or a George Will or the people that are, or the Fox News critics who are out there. Fred Barnes was out this week talking about it like he knows what he's talking about. My take on any major issue like this where it involves scientific data and research that's extremely complex is you have to defer to the experts. None of us really know what the right plan is when you go into Iraq or into any war. You have to defer to the military to make the right moves. We shouldn't be planning or trying to, you know, say, oh, they should have sent more men here and they should have gone in faster here and they should have slowed down here. No, that's up to the generals. That's tactical stuff. Right? It's the same with research findings. None of us in the lay audience are qualified to evaluate this evidence. What happens is you get 99 scientists on one side and one scientist on the other side, and a lot of people want to say, well, let's have a debate. Let's hear both sides. Okay, give the pro 99 side 99% of the time, because that's the relevant breakdown of opinion. But that's not what a lot of people do in debate. They split the time evenly and pretend that that's fair and balanced. That's not fair and balanced. And in fact, Fox News was even worse on Sunday because they devoted the majority of the time to the dissenters. Basically, what you end up with is amateurs, for the most part, talking about this stuff. That is, the pundits you see on TV and the people that write columns and discuss this. When it's George Will and Fred Barnes and me, we do not understand the science. We pick and choose from among the science. I just want you to know, I'm picking and choosing the science that the 99 out of 100 scientists agree with. They're picking and choosing the science that the one dissenter is holding out for. That's how the deck is stacked here. Let's go on and listen to this next piece where he brings in Senator James Inhofe. Now, Inhofe is a Republican for Oklahoma. He's a passionate and persistent critic of global warming. And he's the only senator or congressperson brought into this debate. And he is the most rabid anti-global warming theory. He believes it's a hoax. Now, Asman knows this when he decides to interview him for this show. And then he feigns surprise when he's told by Inhofe it's a hoax. Let's listen.
Here's Time Magazine. Be worried, be very worried. No doubt that there's global warming, catastrophic global warming, and no doubt that it's man-made.
It's a hoax.
A total hoax.
Total hoax. It's an outrageous lie. And they know it.
Senator James Inhofe is chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee. He's a critic of the predictions of future catastrophe from global warming.
This is Time Magazine in 1975.
Okay, stop right here. Before he goes back to 1975, let's be clear what Inhofe is suggesting here. When he says it's a total hoax, an outrageous lie, and they knew it, let's start with Time Magazine. He's saying, first of all, that Time Magazine knows it's an outrageous lie. So he's saying that a reputable journalistic enterprise is putting this out there, and it's all a big fat lie, and they know it, so they're deliberately lying to the American people.
It makes more sense.
It does make more sense to believe that Time isn't likely to be doing. Now, you also have to assume that he believes that of the scientists behind this, too, that they're intentionally fraudulent here, because if Time Magazine knows that it's a lie, he must assume the scientists know it's a lie. So therefore, he's saying the scientists have a political agenda. Now, this is a 20%er talking. My audience knows about 20%ers. On the far right and the far left, they have a skewed view of the world, and they're suspicious of other people's motives. They're always conspiracy theorists on certain issues. And Inhofe is a conspiracy theorist here, because it's not enough for him to say, I disagree with the science, and I'm going with the one scientist out of 100 that thinks this isn't true. He has to impugn the motives of the people on the other side, and not just the journalists on the other side that believe what the science is saying, but the scientists themselves. And he's saying that this is a hoax and they have a political agenda when they publish their research. Let me explain something to you, Lucy, about scientists when they publish their research. They are interested in getting their studies published, and while they usually work off of a theory or a model, they are more than willing to switch theories or models when the data line up in favor of another theory. Because ultimately, they have a very tough taskmaster, and it's physical reality. And so a scientist in physics, chemistry, biology, any of the physical sciences, runs up against reality. It's not like social science or the humanities, poetry or history or something, where you can say, well, on the one hand, people think this. On the other hand, we think this is good. No, in science, the rubber meets the road out in the real world. And if your theory doesn't line up with the data you collect, you can't get published because it doesn't explain things as well as the next guy's theory. So they've settled on global warming theory in the same way they settled on evolution and cell theory and plate tectonics and the periodic table of the elements and the evolution of the galaxies and every other theory that is out there in the hard sciences. They settled on them the hard way. They collected the data. They looked where it led them. They honed it. They changed the theories. They modified them. They adapted them. Sometimes they changed them wholesale. But now we're in pretty good shape in most of these fields. And while some changes may come around the margins, they'll tweak some calculations, they'll change some things, the idea that there'd be a revolutionary shift and we'd decide, oh, we were totally wrong. Global warming, not only isn't it happening, and not only isn't it due to mankind, it turns out it's random fluctuations and they're not big enough to worry about. Highly unlikely. And the reason is that the practice of science involves issues that require that you start with a theoretical model, that you derive hypotheses from the model, that you select a research method, a rigorous method that other scientists can replicate and that you can be challenged on. You go out and you collect the data by standard means. You avoid bias in your data collection. And then you perform an analysis on the data. You interpret it. You write it up. You send it into a journal. And it's peer-reviewed by at least three other people in your field who know what they're talking about. And it almost never gets accepted as is. You're always sent comments. And it says, we recommend you make the following changes. The study may be fine, but you may have claimed too much for it. You may have been told that you didn't review all the relevant literature. You may have been told that you've misinterpreted someone's theory in your literature review. All of that stuff gets fed back to the author or authors, and there are usually multiple authors on these big studies. You tweak your write-up, and only then does it get published, when it gets past what's called a peer review process. That's how science works. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of articles out there in the scientific literature about global warming. They're published in a variety of journals, but there's a community of scientists that know each other, that know each other's work. They think more of somebody's one person's work than another, but it all triangulates on the overall theory that you're working on in any particular area. Now, sometimes there are two competing theories, but that's more in the social sciences, in psychology or in sociology or communication. You'll have theories that say, well, I think this is a better explanation of what's going on in organizational communication. Well, no, I think this one is. And people stick with their theory because it's a messier business than the physical world. But in physical sciences, you usually end up working off of one theory, and the question is how you tweak that theory and what the calculations look like. So the debate in global warming, the uncertainty in global warming, is not whether or not a percentage of it is due to mankind, and it's not whether or not temperatures are really going up, and whether or not this is a long-term trend. Scientists believe pretty confidently that that is happening. What's not clear is how big the increase will be and how big an effect we could have by reducing the amount of greenhouse gases we put out into the environment. And that's what the debate is about. What's interesting is when you hear the naysayers, and I'm not talking about the scientists on the other side, we will get to those in a minute, I'm talking about the other people on the other side, the Senator Inhofe's, the George Wills, the George Bushes, the Fred Barnes, the conservatives in general, who feel like they can dismiss this because it's an inconvenient truth, as Al Gore says, and I'm not endorsing his movie, I haven't seen it yet. I'm talking from the science here. Those people think we can just say it's a hoax, as though that somehow settles it. No, there are serious people here with serious stacks of data, and you have to address it. And none of this stuff that Fox presents addresses that. And it doesn't address the critiques of these other people. It doesn't address any of it. They just make their claims and say, well, we have two sides of a debate here. We report, you decide. Yeah. We'll be back after this.